A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some perhaps you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
Hi there, I'm Emily Forstner, your host today with Voices of the Matsu. Throughout this program, we talk a lot about community, the what's, the where's, the who's and why's of those smaller groups we find within. And today, we connect with another. This one can be found 85 miles north of Palmer in the Upper Susitna Valley. We find it stuffed inside a small building with a covered walkway added on. There are two Connex containers nearby. And for your immediate needs, you have a single porta potty.
It may be small, but it's mighty.
It's the story of how a small army of volunteers and one director make a difference, helping to keep food on the table. How they work against food insecurity. Hunger that's invisible to the eye, and yet the very face of poverty. We begin by getting to know the anti-hunger guru of the Upper Susitna.
Luann Carroll Tisdale, Executive Director at the Upper Susitna Food Pantry.
Luann welcomes me into her office on a cold January day. Picture Luann's office with me, because it's really a closet space about 6 feet wide by 10 feet long. Her computer with an extended screen squeezes underneath the one window, and my mic perches on top of the microwave that serves as both table and desk. Listen carefully, and you might sometimes hear the hot water boiler turn on and push heat into the space.
What type of heat do you use?
Oh, well, this is a very old building, and you're probably feeling the heat, which is one of the few places in this building you're going to find it.
It's hot water?
Baseboard. It's electric baseboard.
The Upper Susitna Valley has had a food pantry of one sort or another for years. Originally, it was housed in Trapper Creek. Then it moved to the Talkeetna Spur Road in about 2009. That's in this building, provided by the Talkeetna Sunshine Community Clinic right next door. Luann's been with the Upper Susitna Food Pantry for 9 years, but her journey to the task of feeding the hungry started long before then. Luann had started the Rural Women's and Children's Substance Abuse Program in Talkeetna. When that office closed in town, she was offered work in a pilot program in Wasilla. It was on the way home from that interview, she changed her mind.
I realized I was going to be driving back and forth every day, and I have young children in this community because I chose to come here. I turned around the next day and I went back down and I said, that is a wonderful job and I want to thank you for offering it to me, but I turned it down.
From there, Luann raised her children, owned the Twice Told bookstore in Talkeetna, and worked in several nonprofits for 20 years, including food pantries.
Actually, I was a shopper for one of them and made those shopping runs when I worked at Alaska Women's Resource Center and the New Dawn program.
A shopper? What's a shopper?
Oh, a shopper is the person who goes and shops. It's exactly what it sounds like. Shops in Food Bank of Alaska, procures the food for a facility, brings it back, gets it unloaded. Basically, that's what you do.
A food pantry shopper doesn't, like, go to Costco and just load up, though sometimes they do go to stores or places like Point Mac for vegetables. But for the most part, think of it this way. Food and money for food is donated to a food bank, and the shoppers go to the bank for the local pantries. But being a shopper isn't the way Luann got to work at the Sioux Valley Food Pantry.
Yeah, so long story short, my mother is actually kind of the reason that I work here today.
Luann's mom retired in Talkeetna and got involved in the local food pantry to the point of being on the board.
But it became her passion. It was really her passion.
It wasn't until Luann's mom passed away that she started volunteering at the food pantry herself, and in 2015, Luann became the director of the food pantry that was her mother's passion. I bet we have all donated at one time or another to a food pantry or food bank. We've sent in food for a Thanksgiving basket to our child's school. We brought a can to the fair to get in free. However we've helped, it's no secret that food pantries exist, have existed, and yes, will continue to exist.
And if we don't make it, easier for people to feed themselves. If we don't get rid of our assumptions, we're just throwing money at a problem. If we don't educate and teach people how to make gardens and how to cook a pot of beans, we will continue feeding people forever. And that is not going to take us where we need to go. We need to change the way we look at how we feed people. We need to change the way we look at how we help people get up. Not just Stephen, but up.
There are a lot of misconceptions about hunger.
We think about those dramatically dirty-faced kids holding up signs. You know, they put them out there to yank your heart out of your chest. Or people sleeping on the street who ask for things to eat. You equate that with hunger, but in fact, hunger oftentimes doesn't look like that at all.
Hunger can be the family next door with the new car.
So we think, oh, they're doing okay, and that's the only vehicle that they have, and they're desperately trying to make that payment so they have a form of transportation, and in order to make that payment, they don't buy food. That can be hunger.
It might be the student who acts out. It might be the student who falls asleep.
You don't know what hunger really looks like. None of us really know exactly what it looks like.
The Upper Susitna Valley is home to 3,000 people. It covers 1,200 square miles. To give you a comparison, in Palmer proper, 6,000 people live in 5.1 square miles. Consider that in the Upper Susitna, 43% live on less than $49,000 a year, compared to 31% in Palmer. Fewer people over a larger area with a whole lot less. Within the Mat-Su, only the communities along the North Glen Highway live with less. So how many people does the Upper Susitna Food Pantry serve? Luann turns around to her computer and says, I've got it right here.
End of 2023, I had served 7,117 families.
She's looking at data over the past year,
which was 13,469 individuals. Now that's across several programs. This pantry is just one. I actually have three pantries.
Wait, I look around the office. You have three pantries? Well, actually, yes, there are. There's a food pantry that is set up in the two rooms off the hallway from the office, and there is the food pantry at the Sioux Valley High. That's called the Ram Shack.
Kids can go into the high school food pantry once a month on Fridays unless they're on an extended weekend break, and then we adjust the day so that kids can get in there before. And it's a collaboration with Sioux Valley Senior Middle School and volunteers and staff from Upper Susitna Food Pantry. And kids go in there, they sign in, they're given bags, they shop for the things they need to take home with them. Pretty simple.
And a pilot mobile food pantry.
It's a pilot program that goes into three of our communities that we serve, which is Trapper Creek, Caswell Lakes, and Talkeetna. We're a 50-50 pantry, mobile food pantry. That means 6 months of the year, we are a drive-up service pantry. We pre-pack boxes and we give them to you as you drive up. The other 6 months of the year, we are a client choice pantry. We put the tables up and the tents up, and we, tables and tents, and we put produce and things on the tables, and people come and they pick what they need, they choose what they need, and they shop.
There's also the children's programs, the senior program, and other pilot programs coordinated through this tiny office. Luann refers to it as an anti-hunger network. Food for the Pantry comes from everywhere and everything, from the Feeding America organization, the Alaska Food Bank, the Mat-Su Food Bank, to something called food recovery. In simple terms, food recovery is when things come up to their best-by date, and then stores have options. They can have a flash sale, they can restock with fresher goods right away, and then all of that stuff that needs to be pulled goes into bins in the back of the stores or restaurants. And so, it is in this way that the Food Bank of Alaska recovers food not thrown away.
In a nutshell, that's it. When food is deemed not saleable, or when a farmer grows too many crops and doesn't want to throw them away, or so many ways, it's the food recovery system. It's a big industry, and it's beneficial because we're not wasting so much food, and God knows we waste a lot of food across the United States.
The Food Recovery Act of 2018 under former Governor Walker holds harmless stores and businesses to encourage them to donate food, but many stores are still cautious against lawsuits, and they don't. so a lot of food goes to waste. And then, during the pandemic, business models changed.
During pandemic in particular, we saw a lot less food coming into the recovery system and a lot more organizations and people needing it. At the same time, we saw grocery stores and marketers learning how to streamline their inventory so that the things that people wanted, that they could sell, came in, and they eliminated a lot, or they were able to reduce a lot of the waste or food that would go into the recovery system. So there was a deficit.
The state of Alaska is experiencing a newsworthy backlog of processed SNAP applications. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And this has impacted food pantries across the state, Upper Susitna included.
In the past few years, we've seen that a lot more, again, because our state's management of the SNAP program has needed help. And so it has caused a deficit, which leads more of these families back into the food pantry for assistance.
So let's talk SNAP for a bit. You may know it as food stamps. Benefits come in the form of a Quest card, and this works just like a debit card from a bank. And the benefits are determined by using first the Federal Poverty Guideline, or the FPG. In Alaska, the FPG is 130% of $3,250 a month, or $39,000 a year for a family of four. The federal government pays the SNAP benefit, and the state pays half the cost of operating the program. That's simple enough. Until you read the fine print, and the number crunching begins. For some, the application and the formula within the fine print can make the 1040 tax form look elementary. It's something like 16 pages long. I have to wonder if there aren't just as many people in need of support who don't apply for help as those who do.
There are some people who just need to come to a food pantry to help them feed themselves through the month, and for the most part, they can get by. There's some people who have incidents that occur, like their car breaks down or something, and they have some months where they just need the extra hand, but most of the time, they don't. It just varies. I have homeless people that come here that need food, and right now, I see a lot of people who are waiting on their SNAP benefits to be distributed.
When a new client comes into the pantry, they complete a simple one-page federal form answering questions on income, SNAP participation, other benefits, address, and size of family. Luann follows the federal guidelines to a T, and if a client is outside of these guidelines, they can't get federal food.
So if I
hit the income guideline,
I won't give you federal food.
Wait a minute. Luann's not like that.
I'm going to disqualify you from the federal program or say you're over the income cap, but I have two extra rooms, and they are full of food that I purchase and recover, and I am going to send you out of here with food. I just won't send you out of here with the federal program. I will send you out with everything else because you are hungry and you need help.
The Upper Susitna food pantry will always help, but at this pantry, it's a soda-free zone.
It's not just enough to feed anything, you have to intentionally feed.
The food pantry runs with one full-time employee, that's Luann, and one paid delivery driver. You might be able to hear the driver work in the background. She's packing tailored nutrition boxes for seniors in the area, ready for home delivery. Today, she has deliveries in the Caswell Lake area. It's part of what Luann calls the Senior Grocery Program.
We build tailored nutrition boxes for seniors based on their likes, dislikes, medical needs. We have a fairly significant portion of people who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, or heart condition. And then there's dietary restrictions for other reasons. And so we have a list and charts and databases, and we're constantly adding to them.
46 volunteers help keep the doors open for the food pantry, from drivers to shoppers to bookkeepers. The numbers of volunteers dropped during the pandemic, however. One, the sheer volume of work increased during that time, and two, a large percentage of volunteers are older. This is true nationwide. And eventually, that volunteer force simply ages out. And food pantry work isn't for the light of heart.
Working here is heavy work. I can guarantee you I probably moved 250,000 pounds of food in the last year with this body. At least once. I didn't do it all at one time, though, so don't feel sad. But it's hard work. And as some of my volunteers get older, they can't pick the cases up the same way.
So Luann gets creative. She invites homeschool parents to include volunteering as part of their kids' curriculum. They can volunteer on the days the pantry's not open. They cannot be in what's called the federal room, of course. But she thinks overall, this will make a difference.
So there's a lot of power and empowerment and just really good direction in kids being allowed to volunteer and get their hands in on our project.
Students can sort the carrots, stock cans of green beans, but please, Luann says, please just easy on the mac and cheese.
About things that you eat versus what you don't eat. Because macaroni and cheese, I know everybody uses this as an example, but I have never met a macaroni and cheese where you just add water. That'd be cool. They should invent that. Instead, you get a macaroni and cheese box that requires milk and butter. I don't get milk here. I have butter right now and margarine, but I don't always have it. So that is something that while it makes, it can be a good food source, it requires other things to make. However, if you give me a jar of spaghetti sauce and a package of spaghetti, which I just told you not to give me, but okay, you have a meal. You can make that a meal.
When donating food to a food pantry or a food bank, consider two things. One, if it's something you want to eat, that's the type of food you want to donate. And don't forget milk and butter. And think about food that can make or stretch a meal by itself. Canned soup, tuna fish, mayonnaise, spaghetti and spaghetti sauce, pancake mix and syrup, peanut butter, and you wouldn't believe it.
You know what we never get? Jelly. So I think the second year or third year I was here, I just looked at what was coming in and I was like, okay, no, we have to do better. We can do better.
And what can be better than eggs? Eggs. That's Luann's biggest expense. She spends thousands of dollars on eggs and produce. The recovery program doesn't always provide produce or the right kind, so Luann buys things like potatoes and carrots and greens from local markets.
I buy a lot of that from our local markets and make sure that when families come in here, I am giving them things that they can use not only for health, but also that they can use to make meals and help support them with access to more nutritious food.
And paper towels and toilet paper, can openers, and personal hygiene. Something as simple as soap.
I have seen people cry over a bottle of dish soap and heard a senior say to me, oh my God, thank you so much. I haven't had soap in my house for 2 months because she lives on $400 a month and she can't afford it. So the value of that bottle of dishwashing detergent, which you'll notice when you walk out in the hall, I have dishwashing detergent and laundry soap and packages of laundry sheets, 60 to a pack that aren't heavy to carry around. I have toothpaste and toothbrushes and deodorant.
Another thing Luann has learned over the years is to be careful of assumptions. She's no longer surprised when clients ask her maybe for a can opener, or how to bake a potato, or how to cook a bag of beans, or even how to grow a garden.
We're also teaching children to garden, and their parents too, because we learned through a program we ran last year that I had another assumption. Sometimes it's me that makes the assumptions. I assumed that the parents that were there with their children to learn how to plant new house, so I handed them the packets of seeds and said, go do it. Well, guess what? I have readjusted my perspective because they need to know how to. So now I have a children and parent program. And those carrots may come up this year.
The Upper Susitna Valley is a tourist destination, and that means many jobs are seasonal. Luann knows families who work 2-3 jobs throughout the summer season and save as much as they can. But by the time January rolls around, They need a helping hand.
We're not invested in letting them get ahead, let's be honest about that. There's a lot of benefit to having people stay in poverty. Yes, I said that on the radio. I benefit from people being in poverty. I imagine you do too. We need those people underpaid to make those McDonald's burgers. We need those people to pick our crops. We need all sorts of things, but we don't invest in what makes it better for them. We just pay them to get by so we can have the things we want. So we too benefit from poverty.
That seems harsh. Until you remember that no one feels the impact of poverty and food insecurity more than the kids and seniors. According to the 2023 No Kid Hungry report, 1 in 7, or 15% of Alaska's children, and 1 in 8 seniors live in homes where there's not enough food to eat. Now that's harsh.
We're trying to really target vulnerable populations that we identified as needing extra assistance. My seniors on set incomes, children that need access to more food to prevent childhood hunger, which, as you know, has lifetime effects.
It's not just the long-term health effects, like rotten teeth, brittle bones, disease, but it's also in terms of brain development, the ability to learn, making decisions, and for some, it's lifelong shame, eating disorders, hoarding, and more. Much more than one box of mac and cheese can solve.
So we looked at the populations that needed additional assistance, and we designed programs for that.
Oh, you mean things like Wasilla's Kids Cupboard?
Oh, Kids Cupboard, rock stars, solid rock stars the whole way. They have more staff and a bigger establishment, and they have a, I don't want to say they have a smaller area, they have a tighter area, okay? For us to do what they do would be to mobilize vehicles and go a lot. We don't have staff, we don't have funding, and oh, but they are rock stars. They are such rock stars.
Luann says every food pantry and food bank has to be unique in its flexibility and creativity. But when you're working in the Upper Susitna Valley, where the distances between the places are longer and the degree of poverty higher, this type of creativity and collaboration has even a more unique feel to it.
So I designed a program called Summer Backpack, and I asked for funding for it, and I got it, and I have it still to this day. And we combine it with the federal lunch program at libraries and a couple other sites. So we combine library enrichment programs with a once-a-week meal, and each child can then take home, a backpack is a misnomer, really it's a bag, of 5 breakfasts, 5 lunches, and snacks every week during the summer. The beauty of this program was, because of the way we funded it, you don't have to fill out paperwork or forms. You don't have to justify your need to me. As a matter of fact, I would prefer not to do any more paperwork.
The food pantry also runs a weekend brown bag program during the school year for children. And then there's the seniors. The seniors who worked and helped build the Susitna Valley. They lost a spouse. Their Social Security pension doesn't cover the cost. They no longer drive. This can become a very lonely existence.
It's about lack of transportation all of a sudden, or isolation long enough leads you to believe you can't reach out.
And with the same creativity and flexibility that was used to create the summer backpack program, working with Sunshine Transit, the senior lunch program is created.
It's not just lunch, it's home delivery and tailored nutrition boxes, and my energy assistance hasn't come in yet. Luann, I understand you might be able to help me, or so-and-so has a problem and we don't know what to do about it. Can you help us figure this out? Or I am poor and I don't have bedding in my house, and can you help me figure something out? Yeah, we can. We can. We can, and if we can't, we know a lot of people who can. I don't know. It's this community really... It's a family. It's a big, loving, sometimes dysfunctional, but totally engaged in the well-being of the community family. That's who we are.
Over the years, Luann's had time to take a really good look at the deep level of poverty people live in and the extreme diversity of the Upper Sioux community. She's honest about it.
Wow, I really look at this community differently now, and sometimes I think that that is not 100% great. I see poverty, and I see hunger, and I see complacence. Complacence from some members. There's a lot of have and have nots here. There is a lot of indifference. And then there's a lot of compassion. You know, and I realize it's just a smaller version of the whole, the bigger world.
She considers it an honor to educate and share with others the lessons she's learned while working at the food pantry.
And then it was my privilege to meet community members who were genuinely interested but didn't know. They just didn't know. And it taught me something very valuable too, because there are a lot of people who hear the poverty statistic, but it really doesn't have significance for them until an event or something happened and they take a look and their world changes too, and mine changed too.
Luann says that people of the Upper Susitna can be the very most generous, lending a hand or a jar of salmon. She guesses maybe they just know more. I ask her if she has just one story to show that. She said if she did, it would be about this woman.
She needs a new half roof on her trailer. She didn't have blankets this winter. And she said to me, well, that's okay, I can sleep under my coat. She shows up at every charity event there is. She gives freely of her time. She plants flowers and gives them to everybody.
She's 76 years old and lives on $400 a month.
And if I had a dream, it would be to have the power to level that playing field. And to take people that just need that hand up and just give it, knowing that I will get back from them twofold.
One word I ask Luann, just one word to describe the Upper Susitna food pantry.
When you get up in the morning and you can open your refrigerator and there's food in your refrigerator and you have something to eat, you can go through the rest of your day. Everything else becomes possible. If you get up and there's no food in your house and there's nothing to drink, and you know that you have to go out there for the day and not only try and figure out the rest of your world, but you're doing it hungry and tired. So what do I think we give?
Just one word.
I think we give hope. That's what I think. And we need to understand that, you know, feeding people is more than just feeding food. It's about feeding other pieces of you too. It's about allowing you that little piece of self-respect or dignity, or it's more than just feeding your body. It's feeding your soul.
That's it for today's episode of Voices of the Mat-Su. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. A special thanks goes out to my family and the KVRF editorial board for their guidance and support. For those interested in knowing more about the Upper Susitna Food Pantry, you can contact them at uppersusitnafoodpantry.org and the Mat-Su Food Bank at matsufoodbank.org. For those interested in the SNAP program, go to the Division of Public Health at health.alaska.gov. Thanks for listening. Stay well out there.
This was Voices of the Mat-Su, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat-Su Borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat-Su Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat-Su do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat-Su Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.